Hey there, this is Erin Nicole, creator of the Move Happy Movement. I'm so excited to have you listen as a part of my podcast. So what I do on this podcast, I interview different leaders in mindset, community, and fitness. And they share their practical strategies for the industry that they work in specifically. It's also a platform for them to share if they sell a product or service or if they're trying to build their brand so that that way you can connect with them if you find meaning in their story and you want to know more about them. I also do a little bit of singing on my show. Those of you that follow me on other channels, I always say, don't forget to tell someone you love them today. So this is me actually singing it. And I'm so excited and honored that you're taking the time to listen. If you find any value in any of my episodes, or especially this one that you're about to listen to, please rate it, subscribe, and please share with your friends and family. My goal and my mission is to empower people to move them away from depressed states towards their own happiness through mindset, community, and fitness. Won't you please join me on this journey? On today's episode, I interview Deborah Hies, who is one of my favorite happy people. She is the CEO of Live Happy. She's the president of a billion-dollar anti-aging wellness company, Neura. She's a best-selling author of her book, How to Live Happy, 10 Best Practices. And she's a mom. She brings tons of value to the table for positive psychology as she is a keynote speaker at many positive psychology presentations internationally, nationally. And she actually helped get the International Day of Happiness on the world calendar, along with Jeff Wilson. So she is a phenomenal speaker and game changer in regards to positivity. And I'm so honored that she took some time to be on the show today. Check it out. All right. Thank you so much for being on this show. We got Deborah Hies, the CEO of Live Happy, president of Neura. She's a mom, best-selling author. I'm so freaking excited to have you on the Move Happy podcast. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. We've run into each other at several events. I know one of your passions is Live Happy and supporting what we do here. And I love everything you're doing. So I'm excited to be on the show today.
Hey, thank you. For those that don't know your background and whatnot, why don't you share a little bit about kind of where you've come from to what you're doing now?
Sure. I have, how do I phrase this? I am just an ordinary person who has the best job in the world. I have been in business for almost 30 years now, which shows a little bit of my age. Basically my background has been starting things, building things. And about in 2004, I really had the opportunity to work in personal development. And what I mean by that is I had the privilege of starting the current version of Success Magazine for an entrepreneur who owned it. And I got to set it up and learn from all these wonderful people like Jim Rohn and, you know, others like him, John Wooden and others. And it was a fascinating experience for me, but there was always something a little bit missing because a lot of that content, a lot of that dialogue was really more about success, obviously, Success Magazine, but finding financial success, finding personal success, personal goal setting. And what happened was I attended a conference called IPA, the International Positive Psychology Association meeting, and discovered that there was this study of positive psychology, which is relatively new, but it took a lot of what was in personal development, and it put it in a context that made it real to me, which was really living happy. You know, living a congruent life, living the life you want. It was more about well-being and about personal well-being and human thriving than it was about monetary success. And that really spoke to me. So in 2012, we ended up launching Live Happy as a company. And it's been a life-changing experience for me. And I get to share a lot of the stuff I've learned and a lot of the stuff that I think I innately knew with thousands and thousands of people and been able to build a community of people that have a like-minded experience, and it's been great. And so doing that, but at the same time, co-CEO of Niora, which is a multinational direct selling company. So I'm busy, but I'm busy thriving is the way I like to look at it.
Wow, and we're so excited and honored you took some time to be on the show and share your story and your gifts and your strategies with us. One of the main pillars of Move Happy is about keeping a positive mindset and being so busy running so many companies and being a parent and an author and all the things that you do. What are some strategies that you can share with keeping a positive mindset?
Well, one of the things to having a positive mindset is having a short memory. And I don't mean that quite literally. but, you know, we all make mistakes. We all fail. Reading Brené Brown's book right now, Dare to Lead, filling up your brain with good stuff. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, talk about is, you know, the Roosevelt quote, daring greatly. Those who dare greatly also fail greatly. So part of having a positive mindset is understanding that failure is a part of life, and it's better to try and fail than it is not to try. And we get paralyzed by our fear. We get paralyzed by the thought that we might not be the best at it, to the point that we don't move forward. You know, I'm out playing golf with my daughter yesterday, and she's 10, and she's brand new to the game, and she's probably swung a golf club a grand total of 50 times, but her brother plays on the junior high golf team, and she starts crying partway through the round, and she's like, I just don't like to do things with people that are better than I am. I'm like, well, then how are you ever going to be better than anybody? Because everybody's already better at everything than all of us. But, you know, having a short memory keeps a positive mindset in the sense of don't dwell on your failures. Many of us, I have this, we replay that stupid thing we said to that person 3 weeks ago at that party that we feel like we look like an idiot. And that person doesn't even remember you saying it. Forgive yourself. When I talk about a short memory, I'm really talking about forgiving yourself. So that's one way, positive mindset. The other real key is surrounding yourself with positive people. Relationships are everything. All the research on positive psychology, all the research on elderly people, all the research on happiness indicate that the relationships that we build and the people we surround ourselves with have more of an impact on how we perceive our lives to be going than virtually anything else. If you're surrounded by people and you feel loved and you feel safe and you have positive people in your life, you're far more likely to be happier, you're more likely to live longer, and really you're more likely to be that kind of person to other people. Surround yourself with positive people. The third thing, you know, on keeping a positive mindset really is... let me see if I can articulate this in a way. It's being present, being realistic, being where you are. Don't always look at what you don't have. It feeds into gratitude. It feeds into being in the moment. You know, don't be being with your kids and worried about where you need to be tomorrow. Be with your kids when you're with your kids. Same thing when you're at work. Be at work when you're at work. Be engaged in what you are doing. Because the reality is, the more engaged you are, the less room you give for negativity to creep in. And my number one thing to tell people about keeping a positive mindset is be very aware of what you're putting in your brain. Yeah. Don't turn on the news and hear and focus on all of the horrible things that happen in the world. There are always horrible things happening in the world. Most of them you can do absolutely nothing about. But we fill up our brains with all this negativity, and our brain is looking for it. I mean, science has shown us that, you know, we are genetically hardwired to look for threats. I mean, until 100 years ago, we were fighting off bears and tigers and didn't have shelter. We were worried about things that were going to kill us. Our brains are still looking for those things. Instead, fill your brain with a good book. Fill your brain with a positive conversation. Turn off the negative news and engage in some personal development content. Engage in a good story. Have a conversation. Don't be mindful if you're listening to the 24-hour news cycle 8 hours a day, you're probably not going to have a positive outlook on life. So I've got a bazillion more. I could talk forever on that topic. Positive mindset. Find something that works for you. Short memory. Be careful what you put in your brain. Be engaged in what you're doing. and then build positive relationships. Those are the things that allow me to keep a positive mindset. And I think they work for most people.
Absolutely. And those are great tips. And for more, they can buy your book. We'll talk about that.
Absolutely. We got a big book. You can buy it.
Awesome. Second pillar, you kind of touched on it. Second pillar of Move Happy is about building strong community. And, you know, for some people, it can be challenging, you know, mm-hmm. maybe awkward, maybe they're anxious people or whatnot. I created the program when I worked in the psychiatric hospital. And so many of them had a lot of different disorders that limited their social behavior and experiences. Mm-hmm. So for someone that may struggle with building strong relationships or maybe has had really bad experiences with other people, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think there's a lot to building strong relationships it's taken for granted. You don't need 50 strong relationships. You need a couple. I don't need to have 100 best friends. I've got two. I've got three couples I see on a regular basis. And I've got, you know, don't get me wrong, I have thousands of friends, but I've got two, you know what I mean? I think we spend a lot of time worrying about where we fit in, whether we fit in, social media, all of that thing. And all of that detracts from a relationship. First of all, if you actually have an anxiety disorder, I believe that therapy is curative. If you have an inability to connect with people due to depression or anxiety, please get the help you need. I'm not, and there's no stigma attached to that. Just go and help develop the skills to build positive relationships. But for most of us, building positive relationships, building relationships that matter, rely on being a good listener, being a person who isn't there to help somebody solve their problems, but is someone there that someone can lean on, and there's a difference. It is someone who can, you know, build you up when you're feeling down. I read this great article, and it's about two people who I don't want to say I have a tremendous amount of respect for, but they're two famous people. So let's put it that way. And it was Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo. So she had a concert, and she had shared a 20-minute video clip about how she felt really bad about the concert. She didn't feel like she did a good job. And he is just saying things that are just tremendously building her up, saying things like, you don't understand the power you have, pointing out an older woman in the front row who was dancing and how he was amazed by the power and the impact that she had on the woman who was dancing. He wasn't trying to make her say, hey, your show was great. He was trying to point out the power that she had and what she was doing to help people change their lives. Most of us don't have that platform. But what he was doing was not trying to fix your problem or say, oh, you're being ridiculous. You're making millions of dollars. Why are you even? He was saying, look at the impact you're having on people. Well, when we spend time with people and we engage with people and we listen to them and we have conversations and we are vulnerable, you know, Brené Brown has a great TED Talk on being vulnerable. I encourage everybody to check it out. What we build is trust. And building trust raises your oxytocin level, makes you feel better, allows you to go out and build more trust and to have more engaging conversations. Now, one of the things that people always ask is, well, I'm looking for that supportive person in my life. How do I find that person? I don't have that person. My spouse just berates me, doesn't believe in what I'm doing, particularly, you know, on the direct selling side, you know, running a direct selling company. We have, you know, brand partners that are engaged in no, you know, they talk to 50 people, they get 49 no's. How do you remain positive? How do you build positive relationships? The best thing I think that I have to offer people, particularly as an introvert, is be that person for somebody else. Don't go into a relationship looking for what you can get out of it. Go into a relationship looking for what you can give. And if you're someone who is not very, very social or somewhat antisocial, volunteer for something. Put yourself in a situation where you have to talk to people a little bit, or where you have to be around people. You know, if you go to church, be an usher, be the greeter at the door, engage in I used to volunteer at a food bank, and we'd go and we literally packed food boxes all day long. And there wasn't a lot of conversation, but you were around people, and you felt you were around people that were doing good in the world. You don't have to create a best friend with everybody you talk to either. Barbara Fredrickson has a great book out. It's called Love 2.0. And she is, you know, one of the father, she's a woman, but, you know, fathers of positive psychology. But what this talks about is creating micro connections with people as well. You can get positive relationships or positive feedback from people through micro connections. Now, what do you mean by that? You're sitting in a cafe and you're both looking at something and a monkey drives by on a pink bicycle and you both laugh, but you notice the other person laughing. That's a micro connection where you actually are getting a positive feedback from somebody else, even though you don't know them, it's a stranger. Or you're standing in line and somebody says, hey, I like your blouse. That is all it takes sometimes to build somebody's oxytocin levels up just a little bit, to make their day just a little bit brighter. When you become that person, I guarantee you, you'll get that back. If you talk to nobody all day, but you go to Starbucks and you tell the woman in line you love her shoes, you are going to get a positive emotional reaction within yourself for having paid somebody that compliment. In fact, happiness is one of the few things that actually multiplies when you share it, because you get more benefit from sharing that than the person you shared it with. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. And so if you're having trouble finding those positive relationships, start with micro encounters. Start by paying other people compliments. Try volunteering. Try being the friend that somebody else needs. Now, that doesn't mean when they say, hey, you know, I dropped a book on my toe this morning, that you say, hey, I ran my car into a wall this afternoon. It's not a competition. It's not a misery competition. It really is a listen, be the friend somebody else needs. You're going to be amazed at what that does. But if you're not ready for that, go out and pay somebody a compliment. Go out and open the door for somebody. Acknowledge to yourself that you're doing it, and you'll be amazed at what that starts in your own life.
Love it. Those are really great practical tips. Thank you for that. Lastly, the pillar, the third pillar of Move Happy, of course, is movement related.
Yeah.
Had a very tight budget at the hospital. There was about $100 between 15 of us staff to split a month. And with my health and fitness background, I wanted to create something for the patients that wouldn't cost the hospital any money or minimal cost. And if the patients got discharged, they had $50 a month of discretionary income. So very, very low budget. So what are some of your favorite either sports, physical activities, or dances that you like to do that don't cost a lot of money?
Well, I play Dance Dance Revolution with my 7-year-old, but, you know, that's another story. I'm not sure that no videos are available for those of you who want to know. There will be no videos like Dance Dance Revolution. To be honest, I travel a lot. And I've always traveled a lot for work, but in the last 4 years, I've really traveled what I would consider a remarkable amount. And I started to, I've always been athletic. I played soccer, high school, right through college. I used to rock climb. I go to the gym regularly. I do all of those things, but when I started traveling, I realized that it just kind of falls apart because you can't get in a rhythm. And so I hated it, and I put it off for as long as possible. But 3 years ago now, I took up running, or if you can't run, walking, because all it required was a pair of tennis shoes, a pair of shorts, a sports bra, and a t-shirt. And now everywhere I go, I take shoes and I run, and I've done, I think 7 half marathons in the last 3.5 years. I did a 5K on July 4th. My kids did a 1 mile fun run walk. I can't say it's my favorite. That runner's high that people talk about, I can tell you I've never hit. But I can tell you when I'm done, I feel great. I mean, I know that's not just because I'm done, but because I did add movement, exercise, the oxytocin level, the oxytocin boost that gives. But the most important thing for me, or for a busy professional, or someone who doesn't think they have time, or doesn't think they can make it, there's always 20 minutes, and all it takes is, you know, running shoes and socks and a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. It's not that hard. So for me, that's probably the easiest, my favorite. For a lot of people, though, it's just, you know, making sure you move. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, standing up while you do the laundry and watch TV as opposed to sitting down. We all have to do laundry. It's an unfortunate fact of life. We can't afford new clothes every day. But, you know, just making sure that whatever it is you're doing, you're incorporating something into movement. Stretching is a really easy thing for most people to do. I think it's an essential part of, you know, getting older, as some of us are, not me, but, you know, getting older, making sure you stretch on a regular basis. You know, but for me, movement is a part of life, and it is hard to get going, but I will, you know, just like psychological health, physical health, you know, longevity, they're also both physical health and psychological health are both tied to your happiness and the enjoyment you get out of life. And the more you get of one, the more you want of the other. And it's a cycle. It's just a hard cycle to stop, to start. You know, objects in motion stay in motion, objects at rest stay at rest. So get committed to doing something, even if it's walking 15 minutes to the corner and back. You got to do something to keep moving.
Absolutely. Great tips. Yeah. When I created the program, a lot of them were, you know, very sedentary. It was a locked facility, you know, scheduled breaks and whatnot. And my boss was super supportive of everything. And she said, well, you can try, but they're really not interested in fitness. They're watching the same yoga DVD and walking DVD every other day. Like, of course they wouldn't be interested. Like, come on. So I was like, let me just create something. And it went from there, and patients were waiting outside the door. They started sharing it with other halls, asking if they could move to my hall so they could take my class. And are you the Move Happy Girl? And I was like, what? It was crazy, but it was fun. And it was something that didn't cost me anything but my time. And it helped me to kind of get over my dad passed my third day on the job there. And so it was like, this was something for me to distract myself, but also give back to them.
Well, I know that I've never met anybody who started moving that regretted it. I mean, yeah. The reality is the psychological benefits from being at some level active are massive. And if you're talking about long-term patient care or terminally, even terminal people, the benefits are massive in terms of, you know, just the enjoyment of life and the ability to feel good more of the time. So I commend you for putting that in place. But, you know, for me, it is also tied to goal setting. A lot of people who don't move, they can find out if they start moving, they start a program, it's the first goal that they're setting for themselves. You know, I'm going to start exercising. Well, that's a goal. Well, and if they do, then they feel like they can do other things. So any place you have to start to feel like you get a sense of accomplishment is great. If your goal is I'm going to walk 20 minutes a day, 3 days for 5 weeks in a row, that, you know, it's a small goal, but it can change your life. And it doesn't have to be the most fun thing in the world, because the benefits outweigh any, you know, like I said, I really still don't really enjoy running. But the benefits to the rest of my life are so extreme that I wouldn't give it up.
Absolutely. You've turned it into a habit.
I have. I hope. I'm about to get on a plane again, but I hope.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all those tips. I think it's really great. And it's good to hear what leaders are doing, because I think you make a positive influence on other people. And that's my goal, is to interview as many leaders and find out what they love to do to move.
Because that's awesome.
If you move, you're going to influence other people to move as well. So with that being said, what is something that you're currently focused on that we at Move Happy can support you with?
You know, I always enjoy providing content because there's so much of it out there. I'm about to go to the International Positive Psychology Association meeting in Melbourne this week. And, you know, new ideas that they have a lot of longevity, and there's going to be a lot of content coming out over the next 6 months. But if you don't go to livehappy.com and surf around every now and then, check out livehappy.com. But my favorite thing we always do is we get the opportunity to talk to some great thought leaders and hear wonderful stories and talk to people about where they are on their happiness journey on our Live Happy Now podcast. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you're a podcast person. If you haven't checked out Live Happy Now, it's an award-winning podcast. We got our first award this year from the American Communications Society. We got an award for best content on a podcast. It's great. You know, we get thousands and thousands of downloads a month, but I really feel like this is something that in 20 minutes a day, or 20 minutes, not even a day, 20 minutes twice a week, can make an impact on your life. So check out the Live Happy Now podcast. It's available everywhere. Any podcast platform you can think of, it's out there.
Yeah, it's really good. So everybody needs to download it. All of you guys. Awesome. And then my last question, I always do a silly one and I change it up just to keep things fresh and let people kind of know a different side of you. So it's funny you mentioned your daughter's 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote this question right before we connected on tonight. And the question is, if you could tell your 10-year-old self anything, advice from your life experience, what would you tell?
I would tell my 10-year-old self, you don't have to know what you want to be when you grow up. Because there was so much pressure when I was a child to pick something and to do something and to be something. I actually felt really anxious about not knowing. And the reality is, I was 40 before I really discovered my life's work and my life's calling. And I was very successful prior to then. I've been a manager of people since I was 18 years old, and I've been an executive since I was in my mid-20s. But I didn't find my calling until I was over 40. Take the best journey you can take. Do the things that are interesting to you. Pick the things that are most exciting to you to engage in and spend your time with. That path will get you where you need to be. And I wish somebody had told me that when I was 10, rather than constantly asking me if I wanted to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief. But really, take the path that's most interesting to you and you'll end up where you're supposed to be. And I wish every 10-year-old knew that.
It's such great advice. Thank you so much. And thank you again for being on the show. We look forward to having you back.
Really, my pleasure. Let me know when.
Thanks so much for listening to the Move Happy podcast. If you found any value in this whatsoever, I would love it and be so honored if you would share it with a friend or family member. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. See you next week, guys.